I first met Brother Vic McCormick when he was preaching in Orlando. I don't remember when. It was back in the 70s or 80s or sometime like that. We've had a casual relationship throughout the years. We'd see him at the lectures and periodically run into them in different places. And then in 2011, coming here for a summer series on a Wednesday night. And then 4 years later, moving to Brooksville when Brother Vic retired from preaching, and was very happy that they were able to stay for quite a length of time as they transitioned to Temple Terrace to stay with their daughter, Christy. I have to admit, one of the highlights at that time was the 6 weeks that we did the garage sale at their house. And it was just a lot of fun that we had during that time. I always look fondly on the days that we did that. And then I remember one of the last times that we were together, I was doing a summer series at the University Church in Tampa, and they attended that evening, and then afterwards, imagine this, they wanted to go out and have pie. I wonder whose idea that was. And so I noticed that we kind of left at the same time. Karen and I went out and got in our car, and Brother Vic and Sister LaDonna got out and got in their van, and I left first, and he got there before I did. And as I'm pulling up, he's getting out of the van, and I'm thinking, he's 90 years old. How did he beat me here? But we won't talk about that. Anybody that knew Brother Vic knew that he was not from around here. He didn't know what the word about was. It was always a boot. They don't speak right in Canada. They call lieutenants lieutenants. I don't know where they get that from, but there was one language that he knew what to speak, and that was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yesterday was an enjoyable memorial service, if you were able to engage with that, the little Zoom thing that they put together for Brother Vic. I thought Gene did an excellent job in talking about Brother Vic's life, from his conversion to his final work in Brooksville. I thought Blake did an impressive job, although he looked really old, changed in that. But I couldn't help but think that the story that I heard about Brother Vic just always stuck in my mind, that he never became a citizen of the United States. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But it was one of those interesting stories and sidelines that he spent most of his life here, but never actually became a citizen of this country. And that fascinated me, at least while I was listening and enjoying the slideshow, that this was a man who accomplished so very much, and yet that was not something important and something that he had to do. So if you permitted me to make some observations about Brother Vic's story, I'd like to suggest three lessons that we can take from his life. And I think it's as Abe said yesterday, and we all like to say, that one of the things that is really helpful in times such as this is to have gospel sermons preached and have opportunities to talk about what made his life to be so unique and special as it was. But particularly because he never, you know, became a citizen of this country. And what I thought about was that, you know, living in America didn't make him an American. He enjoyed all the good things that we have in this country. He enjoyed bountiful grocery stores, modern conveniences, and even the Zoom thing would have been fascinating, I'm sure, to him, and he wouldn't have understood it, and that's okay. But the technology that was there, the ease of travel, the financial security, and for all the years that he spent here in the United States, he got to enjoy all of those kinds of things. And probably a lot of people didn't know that he was not legally a citizen of this country. He was able to drive here, driving automobile at high rates of speed, and he was admired as a member of the community. He was respected by many people and throughout this state and other places. I know he preached up in Brownsburg, and he was just a man of honor. And just that one thing, he never became a legal citizen. And that requires, you know, if you're from another country, you have to come here and fill out an N-400 form and spend about $640 for filing and $85 for biometrics. I thought, what that is, I don't know. I looked this up, you know, biometrics. They're going to, you know, do a scan of you or something, plus all the things, and complete all the regulations attached to the filing of the application and the approval. But when you do that, when the person becomes a citizen of this country, this is probably true of any country, is that you have to give up all prior allegiance to any other nation or sovereignty. You have to swear allegiance to the United States. You have to agree to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and to participate in the democratic process by registering and voting in elections and serve as a jury and respect the rights, beliefs, and opinions of others, which is interesting by itself. But all the good that he did and everything that he accomplished, he was never a citizen of this country. Because just living here didn't make him a citizen. Being here didn't make him a citizen. Being a good citizen didn't make him a citizen legally. Being a respected man did not give him legal status. I mean, there was nothing really of his life that would have allowed him to be recognized as a citizen. As a matter of fact, I double-checked this, cross-checked this, and triple-checked it with Christy to make sure, and she said, yep, he's an alien. You imagine that, a girl calling her daddy an alien. But that's what he was. But it didn't matter how he lived, didn't matter what he thought, and didn't matter what people thought about him. He was never a citizen of this country. Well, when I thought about that, I recognized that some people believe that living a good life and believing in Jesus will grant them citizenship into the kingdom of God. And I think that that's probably one of the great tragedies of a lot of people's lives, is that they enjoy all the benefits and the blessings of the kingdom of God. And they believe in themselves that they are children of God, and they live in many ways according to the laws, much as Brother Vic would live according to the laws of the land, and he respected the laws of the land, and he did things in accordance with the Constitution of the United States, although he was not, again, a citizen of this country. And they look like Christians, and they act like Christians, and they live like Christians, but they have never been admitted to the kingdom of God. They never have embraced the kingdom of God. John, I just realized I didn't turn my mic on, so I'm talking out of this mic. So let's go to the lapel mic, I think. So that's what happens when you move. You forget things. But anyway, that sounds different. Wow, maybe we should go back to the other one. The thought that many people believe that they are something is the reality that so many in the world today call themselves Christians. And it's much like if you walk under a sign that says Christian, you're a Christian. I mean, if you ask people about, he's a Christian man. What does that mean? Well, it means he's a good man, or that he's a man well respected. It doesn't mean that he's a child of God. And sometimes when people define what a Christian is, it's something that's totally outside the bounds of what God's law is. In John the 12th chapter, in verse 42, even during the days of Jesus, and I think this may be characterized as a lot of the people that when we look at those who believe that they are citizens of the kingdom of God, it says that although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah may be spoken. And I should probably go to verse 42. Down at the end of that, I was reading too early. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Here's people that believed in Jesus. Here's people that accepted who he was. These were rulers that would acknowledge that, yes, I believe in Jesus. But they would not confess him, because they weren't willing to accept everything about his teaching. And then we find that so many times with people in the world who want to confess themselves to Christ, but they won't, you know, they say, well, I'm a Christian. And then you kind of look at their life and say, there's nothing in your life that looks like a Christian. There's nothing that you're doing that really emphasizes the life of Christ that is there. As a matter of fact, in Acts the 19th chapter, the Apostle Paul comes to the city of Ephesus, and the Apostle Paul thinks, I have found 12 men, and these are children of God. And he's excited because he wants to impart to these men the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so he comes up to these 12 men. I don't know exactly what they were doing, but he assumed that he came here, and it says, Luke does, he found some disciples. And so he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we don't know what you're talking about. And Paul's thinking, now wait a minute, what do you mean you don't know what I'm talking about? If you were a Christian, you'd know what I was talking about. And they said, oh, no, we were baptized under the baptism of John. He said, no, you got to be baptized under the baptism of Christ. And so they did, and so that was it. But the point of it is that here are some people that for all practical purposes, everybody probably thought they were disciples of Christ. But they weren't. Why? Because they had been baptized under the baptism of John, which was valid, or that was part of the work during the ministry of Jesus, but that was no longer valid. That didn't make you a Christian, although Paul thought that they were a Christian. In other words, acting like a Christian will not make you a Christian any more than sitting in a church building will make you a child of God. And that's where the emphasis has to be given, is that there's something more than just looking. Salvation comes from the obedience to the will of God. You can't simply say that you are a Christian if you're not really a Christian. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. You can live like you're in the kingdom. You can act like you're in the kingdom. You can do all of those things that emulate the things of the kingdom. But if you're not a kingdom citizen, legally, you don't receive the blessings. A true story back during the Vietnam War days. The Associated Press actually had an article about this. It's in my files somewhere. There was a story about a young man who went to Vietnam, I believe, on three different occasions. He served three tours of duty in Vietnam. And he was wounded, had some heroic medals, and he had gotten a lot of honors and so forth because of his actions in Vietnam. And when he got out of the service, he applied for the benefits from the veterans. And they denied every one of them. To the shock and dismay of everybody, they thought, here is a highly decorated soldier. Here is a young man who has served his country. He has fought three tours of duty in Vietnam, and yet they're denying him. Well, come to find out, he had lied on his application. He was either 15 or 16 years old when he enrolled. And he lied, which invalidated everything he had done, because he had not legally been admitted to the military in accordance with the laws of the land. And that's why that they refused to give him anything. I mean, imagine fighting for your country and giving your life nearly for your country and doing all those heroic things. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing, is saying that there are people who will fight the good fight and they'll hold on to what they believe to be the faith and they will give their lives for the service of God, and they are not children of God. Because not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 22, he says, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to say, well, Lord, we did a lot of things in your name. And we cast out demons in your name. We did many wonders in your name. We did all these things in your name. And Jesus will say, I don't know who you are. As a matter of fact, he's going to call you a bunch of outlaws. He's going to say that you're an outlaw. Who is an outlaw? An outlaw, by definition, it's not an in-law. It is somebody who is wanting to live outside the law. They do what they want to do. That's what an outlaw is. And that's the word Jesus uses when he says that I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. You see, you can't be a citizen of the country just by living here, just by acting like you're an American. You have to legally go through the process. And you cannot be a Christian. Hardest question, hardest thing sometimes for people to understand. You cannot be a Christian simply because you live like one. It doesn't happen like that. God added to the church daily those who were being saved, Acts 2:47. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved.
the ones who were being added to the church are the ones who did what Acts 2:38 said. When Peter told the crowd gathered on that day, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If those people, and there was a lot of people that did not, we are amazed at the fact that there were 3,000 people that obeyed the gospel, but let me tell you, there was a lot more people that didn't obey the gospel. And those people that did not repent were not added to the church. Those people who did not, repent and were baptized, they were not added to the church. Why? They're not citizens of the kingdom. So living in America didn't make him an American, no more than living a Christian life will make you a Christian. You have to obey the law. And secondly, his citizenship here was not as important as his citizenship there. There's a sense of honor to the kind of passport a person has. There's a sense of honor by saying that I'm an American. I'm a born American. I know when I was in the Army, people would say, where are you from? I'd say, Florida. And they said, no, where are you from? And at first, I didn't know what they were talking about. I said, I'm from Florida. I'm a Florida cracker. I was born in Plant. No, you had to be somewhere. Nobody's born in Florida. I didn't know that, but, you know, news to me. But, I mean, we like to say that, well, we're from a particular, you know, country and whatever. And so there's honor and there's something to be said about being a citizen of a country. And we have the right to vote. We can run for public office. We will not get deported. That's a good thing. I didn't realize that. But that's one of the advantages about being a citizen. And then they give us a Social Security number. And Brother Vic was actually a citizen of Canada, which came with its own privileges, because according to the laws in Canada, you could live outside of Canada. As long as you lived 3 or 5 years within the country at a time, you could live outside of Canada for any length of time. I often wondered, did he make trips back there every year or something? No, he didn't have to, because that's one of the perks of being a Canadian. If you're a parent, by the way, if you're planning a family, you might want to move to Sweden. Because they got some really great advantages over there if you're a parent, because they have the longest paid parental leave. You get 480 days over there if you want to go be a citizen of Sweden. And that doesn't just mean the mamas, also the daddies. I've got 15 people getting up and leaving, so. You know, and so there's advantages to all those kinds of things if you look at where you want to be. And yes, there's advantages and there's privileges about being an American citizen. And there's many people that come to our country who come to the legal process and they're very happy and they're very proud of the day that they get their citizenship. And it's a huge moment in their life because they've been wanting to become an American. I'm going to tell you, what kind of impresses me about Brother Vic is apparently that was not really important. And that's a good thing. Because the only thing that really mattered to him was what happened on November the 30th, 2020. Because on that day, what value did his Canadian citizenship have? What difference did it make on the 20th day of November that he didn't have an American citizenship? Nothing. Because that's not the citizenship that he was interested in. There was only one citizenship that really valued itself to him. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's important about that illustration is that we have to remember, as we sing so often, that we are in a foreign land. This place is not our home. And we want to go be there. And everything about this world is just sort of backwards. I've lived in two countries. I've visited a few countries, but I've literally lived. I lived a year in South Korea and we lived for a number of months in Bulgaria. And both cultures, they don't even have English. They got funny art all over the place. I mean, you can't even figure that stuff out. But you feel like a foreigner every moment of the day, because you can't understand what anybody says. You can't read the signs. They eat weird stuff. Everything is different. And it's just in a foreign, and you know you're in a foreign world. And when I go to Nicaragua, as much as I enjoy that, I still think, I really can't wait till I get home, because I like my, because that's where I'm at. Well, here's the thing about my citizenship in heaven. Did you see that, what Paul said here in Philippians 2? My citizenship is in heaven. But we're not there. I mean, we go to different countries. We started here in America. We haven't even got to the place that we're going to be in our citizenship. And yet I eagerly want to be there because that's the only citizenship that matters at all. Is my citizenship in heaven. That's all that's going to be important to me in my life. Because this citizenship down here doesn't mean anything. Because when I die, it's invalid. In Matthew 6 and verse 19, that's the appeal that Jesus makes about what is the focus of our life. Do not lay up yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I need to live every day and look around me and say, this is not my world. This place is not where I want to be. That's hard to do. Because you have to admit that God has given us a lot of beautiful things. I have a kind of conflict with that sometimes. I'm driving around and I see a beautiful sunset and I see a beautiful landscape and I do all those things and I think, wow, that is so amazingly pretty and it's gorgeous and I just want to stay here all the time. But then I think, well, but then again, not really. Because I really want to just go be with the Lord. And if you don't believe me, move once. I'll convince you about the here and there. The woman who we call Mother Teresa said that if it takes you more than 15 minutes to pack, you got too much stuff. But you know, there's a lot of beautiful things we have here. We have a lot of blessings that are here. But my citizenship is in heaven. My citizenship is looking for something that's not here. And so it's not so much about the things that are here. And I think that so often what we tie ourselves up with and what we become consumed with and what becomes, you know, so worried about is all this stuff down here. And yet this is not what it's all about, because everything you see in this world is temporary. Do you realize that? There is nothing permanent. This building is not permanent. Our country is not permanent. This world itself is not permanent. Everything we're looking at is temporary. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what it's all about. We want everything to be in this world. We amass everything. I was talking to a young man the other day, and you know, during the conversation and asking me, he's about to get married here pretty soon. And we knew some people, you know, cross-reference and whatever. And I said, where do you go to church? He said, I don't. I said, why not? He said, I got to work too much. I work 7 days a week. I said, one day you're going to go to church. Six men are going to carry you inside the building. We get so consumed with the things of this world. When a person's dying, do you think they're worried about their bank account? Do you think they're worried about where their next paycheck's going to come? Do you think they're worried about whether or not their boat's going to work? I mean, no, they're not worried about any of that stuff. This citizenship comes with its own crown. If I can say the word cool in a biblical sense. One of the coolest things about being a Christian is what we get at the end of this thing. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. At the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I've finished the race. And I've kept the faith. Finally, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Because when I come to that land, and I come to Beulah land, and I'm standing there before the Lord, he's going to take this crown, and it's going to have my name on it, and he's going to put it on my head and say, you are a citizen of this country. And that's all that I want, is a crown with my name on it. And that's all we should live for, is a crown with our name on it. Because our citizenship is not about here. It's about there. And then finally, I thought about this yesterday too. Eulogies are best said of spiritual rewards than earthly accolades. I'm sure there's a lot more that could be said about anybody at any memorial time. I know that whenever I do funeral services, did one recently of a good friend of mine that I've known for many years, there's just not enough time to talk about all the things that we shared together. And there could have been a lot more said, I'm sure, yesterday that was not said, that was left unsaid. It's possible that he enjoyed some rewards in his life. He may have gotten perfect school attendance. I had a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine. Do you believe this? He went all 12 grades. All 12 grades. Never missed a day. That is depressing. I'd have missed the last day just for the fun of it. Danny Roberts. Bless his heart. Did Brother Vic win a spelling bee? I don't know. Was he the high scorer on the basketball team? I don't know what kind of trophies he's got, what kind of awards. He might have been the Kiwani of the year. We don't know. But nothing was said about the Medal of Honor. Nothing was said about the Nobel Peace Prize. Nothing was said about being a leader of commerce with his buildings named after him. Is it possible that there will be a Vic McCormick Boulevard? Probably not. Why? That wasn't the kind of life he left behind. I mean, you look at what happened to people. There's just a lot of people, you know, that died. You think, you know, their legacy, what they left. I mean, Ronald Reagan died in 2004 and left a great legacy, you know, and buildings named after him and airports and things like that. And you got people like John McCain back in 2018, you know, a war hero, and this guy and all these kind of awards, and people are talking about all that he did. And you got famous people like Larry King and George Shultz. He died last week at the age of 100. You know, and all the accolades that you know go with these kind of events, and people, they're talking about all these people or whatever. Vic McCormick, I don't think his name was brought up. Do you? Was it in the news feed? Did Fox catch that? I'm sorry. No. I don't think there's going to be any statues or monuments erected for Brother Vic. There's not going to be any federal buildings or national parks. I doubt 99% of the people. 99.5% of the people in the world even know who Vic McCormick was. And that didn't really matter either. Because his life was not about those kind of things. Because while people lived their whole lives to attain their place in history, their place in history is forgotten. Do you know who the 13th president of the United States was? You would. I have no idea. But you know what was important to Brother Vic? What Jesus told the 70 in Luke chapter 10. He had sent them out to preach and teach and to do wonderful things and to go out two by two. And when they came back, they were excited. They were pumped. They were just overpowered. And it says in verse 17, the 70 returned with the Lord with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Not literally. It's a figure of speech. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that your spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. When it comes to the end of life, there's only one thing that's going to matter. Is my name written in heaven? Am I a citizen of the kingdom of God? Am I somebody who have done the will of God and been obedient to the will of God? Because there's a lot of accolades that men receive in this world, but there's only one thing that's going to matter. It's not going to matter whether I'm the president of the United States. It doesn't matter whether I'm the richest man in the world. It doesn't matter whether I got the Medal of Honor or whatever happened that may be in my life. Those things die when I die. The only thing that's going to matter is when I stand before God, is my name going to be registered in heaven? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23, when it talks about the kingdom of God, it says that we are coming to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. When I die, the only thing I want to know is whether or not my name is there. Because that's all that's going to matter. It's not going to matter about anything else. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, when Jesus is admonishing the church at Sardis, he tells them that he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I'm going to tell you, the only voice that I want to hear when I die is that I want to hear the voice of the Son of God confessing my name before the Father. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's all that's going to matter to me. I don't care what happens in this life. Because the only thing that's going to matter is the name and the book. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great. And folks, that's you and I. That's me and you. That's everybody together. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in it. And they were judged each according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death, verse 15. And if you were not found in the written, the book of life, you were cast in the lake of fire. The Gospel of 2 tells me that the only thing that's going to matter to me is whether or not my name is in the book of life. And if it's not in the book of life, it is not really important to me anymore. And finally, in Revelation 21, verse 27. The glory of the New Jerusalem, and there shall by no means enter in anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you not realize that the only people that are going to be ushered into the kingdom of eternal glory are those who are registered in heaven, those whose names are in the Book of Life, those who are citizens of the kingdom of God? Legally, citizens of the kingdom of God. Because the eulogy that we shared yesterday was eternal, not about this world. I want to ask you three questions. Have you obeyed the will of God, done His commandments? It doesn't matter whether you're living like a Christian or look like a Christian or acting like a Christian. That doesn't matter. Have you done the will of God? And secondly, where is your citizenship? Are you more concerned about here or later? Is it more important to receive honors and accolades here or hear the words of Jesus later? And say the coming of the Lord, they will be saying some eulogies about you and over you one day. And what will that eulogy be? What are they going to say? Paul said in Acts chapter 17, and in verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained, and has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. That's a fact. That's an eternal fact. God is asking everybody to repent. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he has appointed a day. It's coming. And you're going to be there, and I'm going to be there. And he's appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world. And the only way that you're going to be entered into the kingdom of God is whether or not you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Repent. And let every one of you be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you will become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Let's stand as we sing. Hail the soul, what will you